back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking about the new book from Mac Maloney called Beyond Area 51. And we're not just going beyond, we're going beyond, beyond, and way beyond, or something of that nature. I haven't really gotten a handle on how far beyond, or maybe we're going one step beyond. Is that a possibility? You know, you ever heard of that TV show, One Step Beyond?
Oh, I used to watch it all the time.
All right, so I guess the issue we're kind of focusing on here is, what about hiding the money or having to cut back?
Well, I don't think they cut back. There are black budgets that they hide all the time. A special select committee of senators, and I think people in the House can vote on these things, but they're always in secret. Supposedly, the CIA's budget is something like $35 to $40 billion a year. Other kind of classified projects that the military is going to get involved in, especially if it's something that eventually is going to wind up in the hands of the CIA, those things are also kept, you know, classified and in the black budget. So at one point, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years ago, someone told me that the overall classified top secret CIA special projects budget in this country is somewhere between $70 and $80 billion a year, every year. And they really fight for that money, you can be sure.
Like
the CIA has
that even.
It probably is. The CIA is someone who, you know, as you can imagine, they just get tentacles all throughout Washington. And, you know, what a lot of those people are doing is making sure that they get all the money that they need and that they want. I doubt if they're going to be cutting back these days on anything having to do with classified programs, especially when it's anti-terrorism, things of that nature. But I know that what they are doing is that they're drawing in outsourcing this stuff to a lot of people. I mean, that was something that happened after 9/11, where there was just such an influx of money for black projects, especially anti-terrorism projects, that they started, you know, farming them out to contractors. And I know that that is definitely in the contraction process, but I don't think the budgets themselves are going to shrink.
Okay, Mac, in all the work you've done in checking out these alleged secret military bases, did you ever find any stories about such bases that, well, didn't quite pass muster, did not appear to be real? You mentioned in an earlier segment how, for example, the stories about Bob Lazar indicate that, and I should point out to our listeners first that Mac has a fairly extensive section on this subject in the book Beyond Area 51. He basically said earlier that what Bob Lazar claimed wasn't true, that perhaps he was a disinformation agent.
Right. Well, the story about Kirtland Air Force Base and also Dulce Mountain, which are entangled, you know, I can tell you that there's nothing happening at Dulce Mountain or Dulce Mountain. A lot of people in the UFO community believe that there are 50,000 aliens living inside this mesa in New Mexico, that they're have some kind of mind control over us, that they're breeding us to become slaves on their slave farms on the moon and Mars. As crazy as that sounds, there are a number of people who believe that. Books are written about it, lectures are given about it, DVDs are produced about it, authors are interviewed about it. The basis of that story, it came from the Air Force themselves. There was a gentleman named Paul Benowitz who lived right outside and had a business right outside Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, it's kind of a long story, but he stumbled upon two parallel classified programs that were going on at Kirtland Air Force Base. One of them had to do with how to keep nuclear weapons out of sight, out of mind of Russian satellites. Another, people believe he saw the first kind of test vehicles that eventually turned into the stealth fighter. He reported this to the Air Force thinking that they had some kind of UFO connection, and instead of the Air Force just sitting him down and having him sign a security document, which many people do every year, and telling him, you've come upon something classified, please don't talk about it for the security of the country. Instead, they started feeding him disinformation to get him off track. And some of the disinformation that they fed him, this is the Air Force security people at Kirtland Air Force Base, you know, said, you know, turned into these fantastic stories of aliens living in Dulce Mountain and that, you know, aliens were doing cadaver mutilations and so on and so forth, and to the point where they actually drove him insane. He was institutionalized at least twice, and I think it's safe to say that he died a broken man. There was nothing going on UFO-wise at Kirtland Air Force Base. There's nothing going on UFO-wise at Dulce Mountain. This was just another disinformation campaign that they chose to use instead of, as I say, taking the sensible, civilized route and just bringing this guy into their confidence a little bit and having him sign a national security document.
Chris, you've probed into some of this stuff. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I agree. I think I agree generally with what Mac's saying, but, you know, having been pretty close to a number of investigators that have looked into the Benowitz case from all the way back in the early 80s, actually, there were a number of photographs that he took his trip up to Dulce with, I think it was Captain Edwards, if I remember correctly, from the Air Force, aboard a helicopter with special film supplied by the CIA. Kind of a little interesting aside there. They did happen upon some pretty interesting aerial activity. And in Chris Lambright's book, X Descending, he reproduces some very, very high-res versions in color of some of the objects that Benowitz photographed over the Coyote Canyon Manzano weapon storage facility, which you alluded to before, that do have some pretty interesting plasma, you know, ionized plasma effects on the outside of the craft. There's indications that there is some exotic technology going on in at least some of the sightings that he was able to capture on film, and this is not video film. And some of the large format photographs from the trip up to Dulce are pretty interesting, of an object that closed in on the helicopter at pretty close range. So there are some interesting elements about the Benowitz case that you can't just kind of throw it out with the bathwater, so to speak. But in terms of what is going on underneath Archuleta Mesa that straddles the border just north of Dulce, it straddles the border with Colorado and New Mexico, and Project Gas Buggy, which was the explosion on December 10, 1967 of a 29-kiloton nuclear device that was exploded in an attempt to free up gas deposits located about 20 miles outside of Dulce. There are some interesting indications that there is some sort of underground presence there. My personal hunch, hypothesis, is that the Jicarilla Apache were paid off to bury some very noxious, illegal nuclear waste on their reservation, which may account for the very dramatic increases of environmental cancer cases in the population around there. So, you know, if you read Project Beta, Greg Bishop's book, if you speak with Ron Reguerre, who is fairly close to Benowitz right when all this stuff was going on in 80, 81, 82, there is tantalizing hints that he had stumbled onto something that may not have involved the U.S. government. So we can't just totally debunk and whitewash the whole case, at least in my opinion. And, you know, when you look at Anthony Sanchez and, you know, his book on Dulce with the geologists hired by the government to find suitable sites for underground facilities in the 40s, and they stumble on, you know, the alien base under Dulce, that sort of thing is... It sounds like a good screenplay, but I don't think it has any sort of real... There's no evidence to back it up, and really, you know,
right.
we had Anthony on the show, and it was kind of sad, but
right. It was embarrassing. There was a section on the show where he quotes as a reliable source this house name that Tim Beckley created for his books called mm-hmm. Commander X. Which is just like a lot of publishers will have this name where they recruit different writers and they give them a single identity.
Yeah, well, this is Colonel X.
Yes, well, this is Colonel X, which is just about as bad. But he believed in Commander X, too. That's what
right.
made things more confusing. The book we're talking about, though, is called Beyond Area 51. Our guest is Mac Maloney. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro Plant Powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Stop wasting countless hours scouring the web for survival gear when you can visit GearUpCenter.com. We specialize in the latest, most innovative products you can't find anywhere else. Products like the Crovel Multi-Tool, aquaponics systems, and our fully loaded bug-out survival trailer.
Tim Rawson here. I created GearUpCenter to bring you the latest quality-tested survival gear at the best price. Be sure to catch me again next season on National Geographic's Doomsday Prepper, where I'll be demonstrating my new Excalibur shotgun adapter system.
Get the gear your life can depend on at GearUpCenter.com.
And remember, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have Mac Maloney, who has studied Area 51 and beyond Area 51. He has a new book out called Beyond Area 51. And he tells me that's only one of two Area 51 books. It's kind of like what our friend Nick Redfern does when he writes a book. He's got several monster books out right now. Mm-hmm. So tell us more, Mac.
Well, you bring up the name of Nick Redfern. He actually wrote the foreword to beyond Area 51 is very helpful in helping me get some of the research. But I started writing 20 years ago, and the first thing I did is I had this action-adventure series out called Wingman, and we sold about a million books over 10 years in the 80s and 90s. It's kind of like a Top Gun, Mad Max, and a jet fighter-type series. So that went away in 1999, and I, you know, went on to other things, and since then I've got letters and then emails in the hundreds asking me when the series was going to start again. So when we got a new publisher involved and they're re-releasing the 16 original books and they suggested I write another book to get the series going again, they said you can write about anything you want. And I had all this Area 51 research laying around my office. So I said, well, why don't I just write something else about Area 51? So it's a fictional account. It's called Attack on Area 51. It's a lot of jet fighters and dogfights and beautiful women and, you know, things of this nature that were always in the Wingman series. It's a $2 download from Amazon. A lot of people are getting into it. A lot of people like it. And it was just another way to start the Wingman series off again. And it allowed me to research two books at the same time.
And you'd love to have Joss Whedon or Zack Snyder direct the movie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Okay. But the guy who directed The Lone Ranger, you don't want him.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants him now for the next few years.
Well, he also did Pirates of the Caribbean, so it's not as if he was...
He's not out on the street, that's for sure.
No, he's really not working out as well as we had hoped, but I'm disappointed.
Either of you,
that's, by the way, that's Gore Verbinski, by the way.
Did you see the film? How was it as bad as people are making it out to be?
The Lone Ranger, I had planned to see it. Then I saw the previews, and I read the reviews. And understand with The Lone Ranger, I grew up at the end of the era of the original Lone Ranger with Clayton Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought there had to be some kind of middle ground, being a very saccharine kind of simple kind of show, straight ahead for mostly for kids, and having a wacky, wild, offbeat rendition in the movie. Why they had to go so far over the top is what really made it upsetting. There had to be a middle ground where you can bring back the character of the Lone Ranger and have him do his thing without driving people crazy in a PG-13 film where there's a lot of very questionable violence. But that's the end of the Lone Ranger for me. He's not going to do your thing, but I bet that if he came to you and said, Mac, I want to do this movie.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You kidding? Anyone in Hollywood would want to do a movie on one of my books. A couple of those Wingman books are actually optioned for Hollywood. But you see, here's the problem, and this might be a little off track, but they had a lot of trouble making The Lone Ranger. They've been making it for about 5 years, and that's always a bad sign. And number two, they never do these kind of movies right. In my opinion, they have yet to do a Batman right. They have yet to do a Superman right. I'm talking about in the modern era. You know, some of the Marvel comic book films are okay, but... Yeah, the reboot of Spider-Man was awful because they feel they have to elaborate on what's already a good story, where they should just do the good story.
Well, in the case of the Chris Nolan Batman series, they relied heavily on the Dark Knight reimagining of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look even at Man of Steel, where I'm going to be the spoiler. At the end of the film, he kills General Zod by breaking his neck. And there's a lot of criticism saying Superman never kills anyone. But if you go back to the comic book, yes, he has killed Zod. So there mm-hmm. you go. It's your point of view. I think with Man of Steel, I liked it, but the final 45 minutes or hour was over the top.
Well, that's what usually happens. I just happened to, there was a, some channel was running all of the Batman movies, the ones that George Clooney and Michael Keaton were in there years ago. They ran them all in a row, and I was working. I usually have the TV on, and they just get worse and worse and worse as you go along.
I think if you look at the reimagining from Christopher Nolan and the first Batman film with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, you'll see the approach is fairly similar in terms of this Dark Knight vigilante character. Let's get back to traveling through Area 51 and beyond. Let's get back to our paranormal universe. So the point to mention here is that you do accept the possibility that UFOs are real.
Yes, I do. They have to be. They exist. They exist. We just don't know what they are yet.
But obviously you think that some of the givens in the UFO field, such as Roswell, and certainly I would assume Aztec would be in the same category for you, that you don't accept any of those things. What about any UFO crash anywhere? Do you accept any of the so-called crash stories?
Well, the Aztec one, of them all, I think the Aztec one, from what I've heard, and I've talked to a few people who have researched that, you know, that seems to have a lot of evidence, has a lot of kind of credible witnesses. There are actually structures in the desert that supposedly the military had to build to get the crashed UFO out of there. There's just a lot of kind of interesting sidelights of that story, and I give that more credibility than in Roswell. And the thing about Roswell that really bothers me is what it's become. You know, it's now, I forget what the count is, but there are some books out there that say that, you know, 12, 14, 15 UFOs crashed there, and there's 30 dead bodies. And I want to know, why are they crashing in Roswell? And wouldn't the UFOs avoid Roswell if so many of them were crashing there? There was a story in in UFOs in Wartime, my first book, where it talks about UFO presence over ICBM bases and how, you know, those things were real, and lots of people saw them, and the military, once again, knows more about those than they're letting on. But so many of those happened, and there was one particular ICBM silo where UFOs were showing up over it, even as they were doing the construction process. And when they put the missile in, there was so much UFO activity around it that the guards refused to go out and guard the place at night. And that was right down the street. That was in Roswell, New Mexico. To me, there's more evidence of UFO activity over that ICBM base there than anything that ever happened at Roswell.
You know, let's just talk quickly about Aztec. Hotly disputed in the UFO field. Next week, we're going to feature, assuming there are no cancellations, a great debate on Aztec. Was the Aztec UFO case real or not?
Fireworks are going to come out late this year, boy. Woo.
We're going to feature Scott Ramsey, who joined with his wife, Suzanne, and Frank Warren, and other people in writing a book about Aztec and presenting the case for its authenticity. And we present somebody who has been very outspoken in his belief that nothing strange happened at Aztec. That's Kevin Randall. The Great Debate, Kevin Randall, Scott Ramsey, next week on the Paracast. We have a place for your questions in the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. And I suspect Mac Maloney will have questions that he will post there as well. And we'll have to see how these two people react to it. Basically, Kevin Randall doesn't just think it didn't happen. He thinks we shouldn't even bother talking about it at this point, but he's gracious enough to come on the show and debate his point of view. This is a first, unless someone else tries to scoop us now that they've heard it. The straw breaks the camel's back or something. We're not going to break anything now except the station, because you're hearing Mac Maloney with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. for example. Purchase a 6-month supply and get 3 Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods Quick Fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot, all in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients, targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Have you ever consumed protein powder supplements? I have, and all of them don't taste that good. Have artificial flavors, sweeteners, or unhealthy sugars. About a year ago, I was introduced to a new protein powder that changed my experience. This protein powder made me feel noticeably better, and it tasted more delicious than any drink I've ever had. Here's the experience of one satisfied user named Rich.
The term best of all worlds has been belabored to death, and yet I've just discovered a whey protein powder that truly deserves to be called best of all worlds. Best taste by far. Best results by far. You almost feel like you're cheating that something that tastes that good could be so good for you. Thank you, Stephen, and Cocoon Nutrition. One World Way truly is the best of all worlds. The only way for me. Yours truly, Rich from Georgia. Real user, real happy.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Yes, this was a station break. I'm Gene Steinberg, he's Chris O'Brien. Mac Maloney joins us. The book is called Beyond Area 51, and an interesting point of view from Mac Maloney that he thinks if any of those early UFO crashes had a measure of authenticity, it wasn't Roswell, it was Aztec. All right. There you go. What about more recent events? What about Kingman, Arizona?
Well, you know, I only know about that in passing. I know that there have been a number of places that, like Kecksburg and places like that, but even if you look into Kecksburg, not to deflect, but even if you look into Kecksburg, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that that was, you know, a Russian satellite that crashed there. We have a story, we have a chapter in the book about a place maybe you've never heard of. It's called Ong's Hat in New Jersey. Have you ever heard of that place?
Okay, I don't. I live in New Jersey.
Okay.
Well, and I didn't visit that particular place. Can you tell me where it's located?
Okay. It's in the Pine Barrens, which I'm sure you know about.
Sure.
The Pine Barrens is this enormous kind of forested area in the middle of New Jersey that very few people know about, because when you're driving down 95, you drive right through it particularly, and there's no one lives there really. But we came upon this story about these twins, and there's a point to the story. These twins were going to Princeton, and they came up with this theory called the cognitive chaos theory, where they claim that, you know, people could jump universes just by altering their consciousness. And they got thrown out of Princeton for, you know, talking about these theories, went to Ong's Hat, which is this very, very small town in the middle of the Pine Barrens, which in itself is deserted and haunted and so on and so forth. And they set up camp there. They got some kind of underground scientists to join them. And after a few years, they actually perfected this method of jumping universes. And they were doing it all the time until Delta Force jumped in there one night, destroyed the place, and either killed them all or they all went to another universe and never came back. Now, that's a real story that was started up on the Internet by an author named Mike Matheny. What he did was, in the early days of the Internet, of the World Wide Web, he wanted to start the first Internet myth. Because myths start usually around the campfire years ago, and then they just get elaborated on and on and on and on and on. So he wanted to start the first Internet myth, and he did this because he and his colleagues would post these anonymous texts about what happened at Ong's Hack, and they waited, and sure enough, other people started adding on to it and adding on to it and created this entire story from whole cloth. Now, the reason we put that in the book, and we ask, you know, we explain exactly what it is, and we have a gentleman named Michael Kinsella who has written extensively about it, and his theory is that when enough people believe something, then it becomes true. People accept that as facts. It's like a very elaborate game, kids' game of telephone, where you tell one kid one thing, and by the time it comes around the room, it's completely different. Well, we ask at the end of the book, maybe that's what the whole UFO puzzle is about, is that it just starts from one little thing and people keep elaborating on it until it becomes this huge monster that no one can quite penetrate and a lot of people don't want to dismiss.
All right, so is this saying then, is your theory that UFOs, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy?
No, what I'm saying is that they do exist, but there are so many people out there, and this is going back to what we were talking about with Dulce Mountain. There are so many people out there who just put out things that they don't substantiate, that they don't do research into. They just make them up. You named a few of them earlier in the show.
You just named them up yourself. Dulce Mountain is Archuleta Mesa.
Right, that's what I mean, is that they become, so many people have heard it and add to it and believe it that they, in a sense, they become real. So the question is, well, when you look at the overall UFO puzzle, what is real and what isn't? And I just think that 90% of it is just static, is just things that make no sense, have no basis in reality. And I think that really takes away from legitimate UFO researchers, such as yourselves, to really kind of get to the root of this problem. Now, other people have said, well, maybe that's exactly what the military, the government wants us to do. They send out all these false signals all the way just to confuse us all, and maybe that's the case too. But I really believe that things like, and I have to say, I'm sorry, Roswell being one of them, Dulce Mountain being another, and there's lots of other examples that just cloud the issue. They just cloud the issue, and they're like a rock rolling down a hill that just keeps gathering more material all the time. We try to cut through that, and we try to say, well, this seems to have happened. This seems maybe not to have happened. In the end of the book, I'll do the spoiler alert, I question it, but I believe at the very end, UFOs definitely do exist, and they're mysterious simply because our pilots, our military pilots and airline pilots, see them all the time, and they are the experts at knowing what is a natural phenomenon and what's an unnatural phenomenon. And I've talked to enough of them to know that they're seeing something that can't be explained. Therefore, UFOs exist.
So do you think the fact that they don't report these things very often is because they accept it or they just realize the futility of reporting it?
Well, they're worried for their jobs. In the military, you do not report UFOs. Well, let me say you don't make an official report of UFOs, or you don't talk outside of the military about UFOs, or it's going to really have a negative effect in your career. And the airlines, you just never mention it to anyone, because any airline pilot who sees a UFO is supposed to fill out an FCC report. If they do that, the next time you come up, you know, for a promotion or whatever, or you want to actually get a better route to fly, you're not going to get it because you're going to be labeled a flake, and it's going to just have a very negative effect in your career. So they never mention them. I know several airline pilots who I've talked to, I've interviewed, and they've told me stories that, you know, just fantastic, to tell you the truth. And I know that they're telling me the truth, but they can't make these things public only because it will affect their career and their paycheck, Frank.
Reminds me of the scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where an airline pilot reports a strange aircraft, and then the control tower says, "Do you want to report this as a UFO?" And he says no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and then they asked the other pilot who was nearby. They said, do you want to report a UFO? He says, I don't want to report one of those either.
Right, exactly. That's what it is. And a good friend of mine is a pilot for an airline that is leased to the U.S. government. And, he's told me some stories that knowing who he is and knowing the credibility he has and the kind of job he has, I know that they're true. And they are fantastic stories. But they'll never see the light of day because of the position that he's in. And it's the same with people who actually fly for the military.
So the upshot is that a lot of things are happening, but there's no incentive for anyone to report it to anyone.
Well, no incentive to report it outside the military or outside the airline industry, yes, for sure. I mean, you're never going to hear those people talk about these things. Someone told me, someone who was very, very close, and I'll try to get this in quick, who worked for NASA and is also a UFO researcher, told me that someone, and very high authority, told him that since 9/11, the number of, scrambled flights for UFOs has, gone up, hundredfold, because we are now looking closer at any kind of an aerial vehicle that's heading towards this country, because we have this idea of terrorism in mind. So more jets go up, more jets check out these things. Sometimes they turn out to be, something mundane, but as a result, our fighter pilots are seeing more and more UFOs because they're being scrambled more and more.
That's interesting. I never thought about that, but it makes sense. Mm-hmm. When you're paranoid, you tend to create more scenarios to be paranoid about.
Well, it's also, everything changed on 9/11 as far as the security of this country is concerned. And a lot of that has to do with scrambling jets to go up and look for things that might be heading for, New York or Washington, that shouldn't be heading there. And, the vast majority of them are going to turn out to be something where someone's radio was turned off, whatever. But because we're doing it more often, our fighter pilots are seeing more legitimate UFOs because they're up there more often.
Oh, if we could only get a handle on those reports. We have Mac Maloney. The book is called Beyond Area 51, which means it's not the only place where strange things are going on. With Gene and Chris, it's strange here. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Join us in Joshua Tree, California, August 9th through 11th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference. A weekend of in-depth exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. The conference will feature films, panels, lectures, workshops, and fieldwork with leading experts including Stephen Greer, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Graham Hancock, Jim Mars, Michael Tellinger, Laura Eisenhower, Jason Martell, David Wilcock, Doc Wallace, David Zareda, and many, many more of the biggest names in ufology. The conference will coincide with the Perseid meteor shower, and the Joshua Tree Retreat Center offers the perfect place for sightings through the clear desert sky. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.com. We look forward to seeing you in Joshua Tree in August for a serious look at mounting evidence that we are not alone. For more information, go to contactinthedesert.com or call 760-365-8371.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are traveling beyond Area 51. Let's look at some of the other alleged bases where things may be going on. With Mac Maloney, author of Beyond Area 51, with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, tell us about some more locales that
maybe
we're not hearing about.
Yeah, what about the Soviet Union, Russia, sure. The M-Triangle, and some of the interesting events that have been documented over there over the years?
Right. In Russia is, of course, Russia has its own, you know, very deep UFO history. They are... Certainly when the Soviet Union was still, you know, existed, at one point they asked everyone in their military that if they saw a UFO that they should file a report, and a lot of these people did. And so the Russian government, or the old Russian government, you know, were inundated with stacks of UFO reports. They had the largest UFO reporting agency in the world. The entire Soviet military at one point was reporting UFOs. But there were two places in Russia that we cover, and they really are opposite from each other. The first place is Kapustin Yar that we talked about, and that's the place where it's a combination Area 51 and Cape Canaveral. It's a huge base that's been operating since the end of World War II. A lot of the captured German scientists that weren't lucky enough to come over to surrender to the Allies and were captured by the Russians, and they were put to work there, and they put the Russians in space just like German scientists put us in space. But there's a very famous fighter pilot, female fighter pilot, Marina Popovich, who is someone who is the equivalent of, you know, let's say, I don't want to say Neil Armstrong, but someone who is very, very famous in our aeronautical circles here in the United States. She claims that her jet fighter squadron, you know, engaged in dogfights with UFOs over Kapustin Yar on a regular basis during the 50s and 60s. And she's someone who, she's more like Chuck Yeager, let's say. So if Chuck Yeager came out and said, you know, I used to dogfight with UFOs over, you know, some air base, Edwards Air Force Base in California, I mean, there'd be a lot of people who would tend to believe him. Well, this is the same case in Russia. And she's written a book about how, you know, they were always chasing UFOs away from Kapustin Yar and getting into dogfights with them. And finally, they kind of came upon this kind of unspoken truce that if the UFOs, they tended to hang around when the Russians were going to launch something. So if they didn't scramble jets to interfere with UFOs, then the UFOs would not interfere with the launch. So, you know, very, very strange place. Had a 3-hour UFO sighting there at one point where more than 50 people saw this UFO that kept hovering over these nuclear storage devices. The KGB did an extensive report on it and interviewed people extensively on it. And, of course, you have to ask the question, who would lie to the KGB? So you have to kind of take what these people told the KGB as truth. And that particular sighting had so much evidence that it actually went into a report that Lawrence Rockefeller, the brother of Nelson Rockefeller, funded and gave to President Clinton in the mid-90s, which had a lot of really good evidence to of a number of UFO sightings. What Clinton did with it, no one knows. But, you know, because of Rockefeller, the name can open so many doors. He was actually able to hand a UFO investigative document to the President of the United States.
Well, we know our own Chris O'Brien had some goings on with Mr. Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was an interesting guy. I mean, you know, finally someone who's a billionaire who was very interested in trying to get to the bottom of the UFO puzzle, and my hat's off to him. But the other place in Russia, too, is this place that Chris mentioned before called the M-Triangle, which is at the exact opposite end of what's going on in Kapustin-Ya. It's a 40-square-mile tract of land near the Ural Mountains in Russia at a very isolated place. And before the Soviet Union fell, they wouldn't let any civilians go into the place, though there's lots of reports that the KGB would go into this place. So, but when the Soviet Union fell and the Russian government became a little more liberal, they allowed researchers and reporters to go in there. And it's just this very strange place. I mean, they see lots of UFOs, but lots of very odd things happen there. Like, you know, they'll be camping out in a very heavily forested area, and yet they hit traffic as if it's passing by them just a few feet away. They hear like a choir noise. People report hearing like a choir singing in this place. Supposedly the animals don't have any fear of humans. The fish come right up to you if you're in the pond or a stream or something. Supposedly you can't make a cell phone call from anywhere on the M-Triangle unless you're standing in this place that they call the call box, and it's just a 5-foot by 5-foot square that if you stand in the middle of it, you can make a cell phone call to any place in the world. People see the stars creating strange formations overhead. They see these odd spheres going overhead, seem to interact sometimes with people. But the most profound thing is that these reports that, you know, I kept coming upon, where people would go into the M-Triangle and they would come out and they would be literally changed. Their personality would be changed. The Russians call it they would have a new soul, where they would just have a better outlook on life. Some people went in there with diseases and they were cured. The best story that we dug up was this gentleman who was washed out of the Soviet military, was unemployed, became a journalist, got a gig to go and report on the M-Triangle. He was there for 2 weeks, and when he came back out, he suddenly had this knowledge of astrophysics and astronomy and regular physics, and within 18 months he was a cosmonaut with really no formal training. In fact, People magazine did a story on the guy, just because his being in the M-Triangle for a couple of weeks, and there's just dozens of stories like this about this place. It's just a fascinating place, and someone asked me the other day, of all the places in the book, where would I want to go first? I would like to go to the M-Triangle first.
Not the Bermuda Triangle. We don't hear much about the Bermuda Triangle anymore, Mac. Are there any recent stories that we can look at?
Well, only that AUTEC, the Navy's Area 51, they built it right in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, which I find interesting. But, you know, that's maybe another thing that's been kind of, you know, overexposed or whatever. I still think it's a fascinating place because strange things do happen there. There's no doubt about it. And it really is a larger area than people think. It goes from Bermuda, and it goes right down to that part of Puerto Rico that Chris was talking about, encompasses all of the Bahamas. There's all kinds of strange paranormal stories that come out of the Bahamas, strange creatures living there and so on, and ghost ships and stuff like that. And, you know, the Navy just chose to build their secret base right in the middle of this place. I think that's interesting.
Certainly a fascinating way to explore what's going on. Now, in your work with Chris, you talked to our own Chris O'Brien about the Mysterious Valley. Any interesting insights you can offer? We're getting near the end of this segment, so we'll continue through the next one.
I have to thank Chris for his help in putting that chapter together, because he's really the person who should be speaking about it, not me. You know, just reported a lot of the information that he was very generous in giving me. That would be the second place I would want to go. In fact, I probably would go there first. Just the number of things that happened there, and it just begins with UFOs and goes to ghosts and shadow people and flying humans and, you know, the works. A very strange place, once again, surrounded a place that has many military bases around it, surrounding it, doing classified work, it just kind of goes hand in hand with these strange things for some reason.
Just to add to the paranoia here, in the course of your studies and investigation to put this book together, did you run across anybody from military or intelligence saying, don't go there?
Well, no, but I have had a lot of trouble with my phones. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. When I started promoting UFOs in wartime about a year and a half ago, suddenly I started having trouble with my phone, being cut off, hearing echoing, hearing lots of static. And I've had people who work for the FBI tell me that my phone has been tapped, and I just don't want to believe it. But it's only when I'm talking about UFOs. We've had these phones here for 20 years, never had any problems with them, but when I'm talking about UFOs, it just seems that more often than is just coincidental, I am cut off and hear all these things that when I describe them to people in the know, they say that's a symptom of your phone being tapped. So I think that there's a little bit of evidence, though. I can't imagine the government would have the time or spend the money to, you know, eavesdrop on someone like me, because I'm just someone, I'm not even a researcher, I'm just someone who's a reporter who goes out and compiles this information and puts it all in one kind of manageable text. But yes, there's been strange activity on my phone, I have to admit.
Well, now with the revelations about what the NSA is doing, I think all our phones are tapped.
Well, all our phones have, they have the ability to tap our phones, but they're not tapping all of our phones. That would be impossible.
That's what they claim.
No, they are creating a database of all
right.
voice communication, all traffic cams that are tied into the net.
You know, there's a story now about traffic cams and about police departments around the U.S., all of whom, actually half of whom so far, are collecting information on your license plate. They record license plate numbers supposedly to be able to coordinate with crime databases to see if you're legal or not, or if the license plate is legal, or if you're wanted for something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it goes to show that there's hardly anything anybody could do where they're not subject to someone's scrutiny that maybe you don't want to invite. We've got Mac Maloney. The book is called Beyond Area 51, and as you see, we're exploring not just the installations, but incredible goings-on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.